Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible, friend of the program. We're going to take a couple calls with, if you don't mind,
yeah,
as well.
So we'll
get to those in a little bit. But we've talked a lot about the real top of the draft here, but I know you dive deep. So we're going to challenge you a little bit here, okay? Talking about day two picks, second and third round, where do you think you're going to find the most value from a position standpoint, depth of the draft, top of round two, top of round three?
Well, I think you take a look at the running backs first and foremost. This is a really extremely deep class, and everybody's talking a lot about Saquon Barkley. Is that a fit for the Giants at number two? I think you can find some very comparable running backs, day two, day three, of Rashard Penny from San Diego State.
So you don't think the drop-off is that steep?
I don't think it's that significant, and I don't think that the running back position makes enough of an impact to be a game changer. I would not invest a second overall pick on a running back, despite the previous year's success, because I can find a guy like a Sony Michel from Georgia. I can find a guy like Penny that we mentioned about.
Ronald Jones, USC.
And every year you get guys here that, you know, even the Bears running back a couple years ago that went on like day three. And Jordan Howard, I think it was, and just came out like a gangbuster. Kareem Hunt, another perfect example. And I just, you know, I think running back position, I can get an undrafted guy if you find a guy to fit their scheme. I mean, you can get an undrafted guy and be comparable, not as explosive as a Saquon Barkley, but a guy that has a comparable career over the length of a period of time.
I got a running back who fits the description, and I got to ask you about him because Jeff Fegels will kick my butt if I don't, and that's Walton out of Miami, who had the injury history, claimed yesterday at his media session that all the teams ask him first and foremost about the knee and that he's fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's a guy that's going to turn some heads here this week, and I think he's been under the radar because of that injury, but you talk about a speed burner, a 4.4 speed guy that's just flying right, really under the radar, and that's what I'm talking about. He's going to probably go day three because of the injury, and we don't know what the medical is going to discover here, but, I mean, there's a perfect example. Ralph Webb, who's not even invited here from Vanderbilt, I mean, this guy has just been great in the SEC. He's not even in Indianapolis. He's going to outperform guys. Chase Edmonds from Fordham, who was injured this previous season, but before that, he had a day two grade coming into the year. That's a guy that's going to go day three undrafted and maybe start at the next level.
You're dropping a Fordham guy on Paul Dettina. You're going to get him excited over there.
I mean, you know, Rose Hill, baby. I'm all in.
What are the positions besides running back do you like in that top round two, top round three, where you're going to get a lot of juice out of them?
Well, there's 70 defensive backs here, and I think that speaks volumes to not only what we saw last year's draft. I think more defensive backs drafted than, you know, the previous years, like we've seen never before. And you got explosive playmakers there, whether it's, you know, Derwin James, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Joshua Jackson from the Iowa kid. There's so much depth at the cornerback position. I think that you're going to see guys there probably, again, drafted day two, day three, that are going to go on and start at the next level.
All right. Now, we know you specialize, again, in going deep. So I'm going to ask you about two local guys. They're not necessarily going to be starters in this league. In fact, maybe they may project 2-3 years down the road. But I know you were talking to a couple of them at the table the other day. Offensive tackles, Toth from Army and Sanat from Wagner. These guys are great stories, if nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, Toth, he came out like a gangbuster. I think it was the East-West Shrine Game or whatever All-Star game he participated in, and just, you know, was barreling over guys, really impressive, really strong.
And then he got invited to the Senior Bowl off that performance.
Right, and so, you know, there's a guy that is really, you know, if you can continue to, I say, you know, hit the draft triple play with the All-Star circuit, the Combine, and the Pro Day, you know, teams are really going to have to think twice about, you know, do we want to wait on this guy? What is his military commitment? Do we want to be patient because the rules have changed?
And the reports are that it would have to be a two-year commitment, correct?
So, you know, there's a guy, you know, probably maybe day two, day three, probably day three, you invest in a guy, probably a contender that can be patient and be willing to wait like the Patriots. I think they've done that in the past. Mm-hmm. I think they had a long snapper from the military school. Now,
yeah, Belichick does those things.
Yeah, he does. Well, you know, he's got the background. With
yes, he does.
And, he also has a job security to wait around for a couple of years if he wants
that
to, which also helps.
Right. So you get a little bit more leeway when you're Billy Belichick. But, you know, Sanat, we were just watching him here on the monitor, you know, before I came on, and you know, he's got to improve. He's got some work. He's got to improve his technique. He obviously has the athleticism. I think, you know, he's a lump of clay right now, and scouts and coaches are going to have to mold that. And, you know, for me, the biggest concern is, like, why didn't you win the left tackle starting job? And if you're that good, why were you playing right tackle? And I think watching it on the monitor here, we saw a little bit of stiffness in the hips. And, you know, he's just going to have to work on continuing to expand that flexibility.
Linebackers. Giants need them. New defensive scheme. They're going to a 3-4. James Betcher loves fast linebackers. Taking Roquan Smith and Trim Edmonds out of the mix because we all assume that they're going to be gone in the top 15. Who else could be there for the Giants if you're looking for a speedy linebacker that fits in James Betcher's scheme?
That Boise State kid, Vander Esch, I mean, he's going to be skyrocketing, I think.
Will he last to 34?
Yeah, I think so. I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Other people
that.
Have told me that they think he might jump into the 20s.
Yeah, we've heard that.
Well, you know, and I think, you know, Indianapolis might dictate some of that. If he comes and jumps through the gymnasium and blows the roof off of Lucas Oil Stadium, then he very well could be a first-round pick. But I think the depth at linebacker position, and listen, Giants need to get back to having these linebackers because that's – back in the day, as you guys know, that's what their bread and butter was on defense. So we need some linebackers. We need some playmakers here and, you know, some guys flying around with their hair on fire.
One more quick one before we go to the phones. Shaquem Griffin, the one-handed linebacker, who a lot of people think can play despite his handicap and is going to be drafted maybe even, could it be third round? Is that possible?
Is it possible? Yeah, nothing surprises me anymore in the draft process, but I think he's more of a day three guy. He was a late invite to the combine. He wasn't on that initial invite list.
What position, by the way, do you think he's going to play?
I think he's like a joker. You know, I like him as a rover position, maybe strong safety, maybe outside linebacker, maybe a honey badger type of player. I think he kind of fits that mold.
Do you think fourth or fifth round for him, you're thinking, or could he go to 6-7?
I think anywhere between 5-7.
5-7?
Okay, a little lower than what some of our other guys thought.
All right, let's take a couple of calls here with Rick. Three draft questions. Let's get him in, and then we'll have Jeff Risden at the top of the hour. Let's go to Travis in Queens. He will lead us off. Hey, Travis, what's going on, pal? Good to talk to you.
Hey, fellas, how you guys doing?
Hi.
Good. Question. So I want to know, like, what options would be better? What, for the second pick, do you go Barkley? And then second round, you go Will Hernandez if he's there, or do you go Nelson, and then you go second round running back?
Good question. What do you think, Rick?
Well, you're heading in the right direction. It's got to be offensive line. We, you know, Jerry Reese did not address this position in the last couple drafts, and it's been frustrating. It's been frustrating to the coaches. It's been frustrating to the fans. It's been frustrating to my eyeballs. So if you're going to stay there at number two, you got to take Quentin Nelson. But, you know, there's too much equity there to stay there because you don't need a quarterback. If they stay there, there's no doubt about it in my mind. They will definitely find a trade partner that's willing to move up and take a quarterback. There's too much equity, too much value. You can trade down and take a guy like Isaiah Wynn, take a kid from the UTEP school, Will Hernandez. You can probably get him if you move back in the later part of the first round, top of the second round. If you're going to stay there, take Quentin Nelson, safest pick in the draft, but you have to trade down. There's no doubt about
it. So if they don't go quarterback, you think trade down is the way to go?
You have to.
All right, interesting.
Boy, you should have been answering a lot of the people on my Twitter because when I suggested that back in December, I got so much heat.
Now, Rick, let me ask you this, though.
And I'm still riding that, by the way.
Based on the depth of the class, do you think going in, let's say, for example, one trade that's been mentioned and rumored out there is the Bills. They've got two first-round picks. They have multiple picks in other rounds as well. Do you think it's dangerous to move that far down based on the depth of the class, or do you think you can find, you know, you never find sure things in the draft, but guys that you have good feelings about in that early 20s area?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's probably, I can count on one hand how many franchise-type players there are in this year's draft.
Who do you think?
Single caller?
Chubb?
Chubb would be in the mix for certain. And, you know, Calvin Ridley, I think, is head and shoulders above the rest of the receivers. He's my only first-round lock in terms of the wide receiver position.
You know, we didn't mention Chubb, the running back, before when we were talking about ball carriers, and that's a power back who might fit in well with the Giants.
Yeah, he lost a little bit of explosiveness off that injury, but I think he bounced back well enough to be in that day two consideration. But I like his teammate a little bit better. Sonny Michel, I think, is more explosive, and there's some fumble questions there. You know, every 54 carries, he fumbles the ball. So I'm a little bit concerned about that. But I think, you know, Chubb is going to be a guy that I see him in the day three range. And
I think he's going to be
a timeshare back at the next level.
All right, let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. He's got a question for Rick. Joe, go ahead, pal.
I'll just get my statement in. I just want to say in the 2004 draft, what we were talking about yesterday, I got cut off there. we got Eli Manning. And you know who we did have a second round
Chris
pick?
Snead.
You know who we got? Chris Snead.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes, so, we had a momentary brain lock. That's okay, Joe.
Oh, okay. I'm saying that's great. My question is, before you cut me off, I'm saying we get a tackle or a running back, but is it more important we got Webb there and to take a quarterback to ensure that we have Eli's backup, because we are up that high, and you have to pay a king's ransom to get up that high?
And look,
is that more important than taking another player to make sure we have Eli's backup that we can wait? Because between Webb and that quarterback gives us a 50% more chance of hitting on it. Wouldn't you agree?
Now, Joe, you know, Joe, I think that's a good point. And, Rick, let's ask you about Davis Webb, because you obviously did a big workup on him last year. What do you think his chances are based on what you saw from him in college? This is really most of the tape that we have to look at. He didn't do a whole lot on the field for the Giants last year to be Eli's successor, or are the odds of the guys you see this year that much higher?
What's not to like about Davis Webb? I don't understand this. I mean, you invested a third-round pick on him. His work ethic is through the roof. He's
just
a sponge.
Just keep reading off of my script, because we agreeing on
he's
everything.
A
you
he
understand
just absorbs,
that.
I mean, he's like the first guy there, last guy to leave the building. Everybody who comes in contact with this guy is just so impressed through the roof.
You put pork in the meatballs, too?
Hey, oh,
I'm
of
just
course.
Checking.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, three meatballs, of course. But, you know, I mean, what's not to like about this guy? I mean, he's got it all. He's just comparable to Jared Goff, in my opinion. And you saw Goff struggle his first year and then rebound with McVay. And I think it's all about development, man. Listen. These quarterbacks, even in the first round, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, even Lamar Jackson, these guys, they're no short thing. It's about the coaching staff. You got to get a guy like a Baker Mayfield. You get a moving pocket like a Marcus Mariota. You got to build the system around them. And, you know, I'll give you Kyle Lauletta from Richmond. This guy's getting Jimmy Garoppolo comparisons. You could probably have him second, third, maybe fourth round and develop a guy. But I'm a firm believer in the Bill Walsh philosophy. I'll draft a quarterback every year because, you know what, having too many quarterbacks, too many good quarterbacks is a great problem to have. Look at Belichick. He traded Brissett. He traded the kid to San Francisco. I mean, when you have a quarterback, you have assets.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Jason of Virginia. He's going to be our final call with Rick. Jason, go right ahead, pal. How are you?
Hello? I'm doing pretty good. A quick question about if the Bills came, I know there's been some thing about not wanting to trade down that far, but say if they put in a package with Glenn, both their first rounds and something else, is that something the Giants should go for, or is that still something they should pass on?
Rick, what do you think?
Without a doubt. You want to give me two first-round picks to slide down? Like I said, unless you're in the market for a quarterback, hey, it's great to get an impact player and a difference maker. But if I'm doing my due diligence and I got two first-round picks, I'm drafting two starters, and this team needs a lot of help, not so much on the offense, maybe on the offensive line, but, hey, let's get a linebacker in here. Let's get an offensive lineman in here, a 20 and 21 or whatever they're picking.
What kind of players would you like in that area, 2021?
I would take Isaiah Wynn or Will Hernandez without hesitation because we need to build the interior of the line. And then I would probably go at linebacker, maybe a Tremaine Edmonds, and let's get the linebacker back to what Giants football is all about.
Good stuff.
Rick, we appreciate it, man. Good
thanks,
stuff.
Thanks, gentlemen. I love you guys.
Always good to see you.
Oh, absolutely.
Rick Saratella,
thanks,
NFL
Rick.
Draft Bible. We thank him for joining us, and you'll hear from Rick once again, or at least once or twice before we get to the draft.